Thank you for joining Trinity Church Online today. You're about to hear Pastor Jeff Gangle give a message from our latest sermon series. If you have a comment or prayer request, please email info@trinitychurchvb.com. We are always so honored and blessed to hear your feedback. Thank you again for listening. Now prepare your heart to hear the Word of God.
Imagine there was a shepherd. And this shepherd had 100 sheep. He loved those sheep, even though sometimes they were hard to manage. One day, one of those sheep wandered off, as sheep tend to do. One sheep was lost. So the shepherd left the 99 sheep that were in the field to go searching for that one lost sheep. And he searched and he searched until he finally found that sheep. And when he found it, he picked it up and put the sheep on his shoulders, carried it back to the flock. And when he got back, he went to his friends and his neighbors and he said, "Come on, rejoice with me. I found my lost sheep." In the same way, Jesus said, there will be rejoicing in heaven, more rejoicing over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous ones who don't need to repent. And Jesus told another story. He said, imagine a woman who has 10 silver coins, and she loses one of those coins in her house. Don't you think when she loses that coin, she's going to light her lamp, get out her broom, sweep that dirt floor all over the house until she finds that one lost coin, that valuable coin? And then when she finds that coin, she will go to her neighbors and her friends and say, "Come and rejoice with me, celebrate. I found my lost coin." In the same way, Jesus said, there is rejoicing among the angels in heaven over one lost sinner who repents. Jesus told a third story. A father had two sons. The younger son wanted to live life his own way, and he asked his father for his share of the inheritance. The father didn't have to give it to him at that point, but he did. The son took his part of the inheritance. He moved off, went to a faraway country, and squandered his entire inheritance in wild living. And just about the time the money ran out, a famine hit the land. And the only job the son could find was slopping pigs. And as he sat there in that pig pen, even the food the pigs were eating looked good to him. That's how hungry he was. But as he sat there, he came to his senses. He said, "Back home, my father's hired men eat better than I'm eating right now. I'm going to go back to my father. And I'm going to say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against God and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.'" So he got up and he went home. And as he was still a long way off, coming down the road, the father saw him. And his heart skipped a beat. And he jumped up and he ran down the road, met his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. And the son started into his speech. He said, "Father, I've sinned against God and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." And before he could even finish his speech, the father called out to the servants, "Bring new clothes. Bring the family ring to put it on his finger. Bring new sandals for his feet. We've got to celebrate." Meanwhile, the older son was out in the field. He missed all this. As he came back to the house, he heard the sound of music and of dancing, and he called a servant over to find out what was going on. The servant told him that the younger son had returned. The older son was furious. He refused to go into the party. So the father came out to him and encouraged him to come in to celebrate. The older son was set all these years. I've slaved for you. I've never done anything to disappoint you, but you've never thrown a party for me and my friends. And now this worthless son of yours squanders your inheritance on prostitutes, and he comes home and you throw a feast for him. The father said, "My son, you will always be with me. Everything I have left is yours. But we had to celebrate. This brother of yours was as good as dead. Now he's alive. He was lost. Now he's found." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us these amazing stories. Thank you for showing us your heart for the lost. Lord, I pray in these next few minutes, help us to learn from these stories, from these parables. Help us to understand what you were saying, to grab a hold of your heart and make it our own. Lord, I pray that you would guard my words, help me to accurately and carefully communicate what you once said this morning, that it would be your words and the power of your word and the work of your Spirit in us to teach us what we need to hear this morning. We commit this time as an act of worship to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus told these stories to explain to the Pharisees and everybody else that was gathered around why he was spending time with these tax collectors and sinners. They were upset about that, but Jesus had a very particular reason in mind for why he was doing that. If you're not already there, turn to Luke chapter 15. I'd love for you to follow along as we look at each of these three stories. And you have to ask the question, why in this case does Jesus have to tell three stories? Why does he tell three stories that have essentially the same theme, that same common denominator among them? Why three? Well, the common theme is pretty clear. Something is lost or someone is lost, and then it's found. The shepherd goes and finds the lost sheep. The woman finds her lost coin. The father is reunited with his lost son. That's the common theme. And also, at the end of all three of these stories, you notice there's a celebration. The joy in the finding is a common theme. I believe what Jesus is trying to tell us, one of the things, is that he wants us to understand the heart of God. Do you ever ask yourself, you wonder, what brings God the most joy? What does God get most excited about? I think this is it right here. I think Jesus is telling us, by telling us three times over, what excites God the most is when sinners repent, when the lost are found. Jesus says it in verse 7 and verse 10, the first two stories, in the same way, there will be rejoicing in heaven when one lost sinner repents. God parties when the lost are saved. The angels in heaven explode with excitement when one sinner comes to repentance. That's God's reaction. I love that. That part of the story also tells us, when Jesus inserts in verses 7 and 10 those explanations, that tells us what he means by the lost. And you could read those stories and you might not be sure. Well, the lost clearly is a sinner who's separated from God by his sin, and then comes into a right relationship with God through repentance. That's how the lost get found. I think what I come away with in this story too is a desire for a little bit of God's heart to become my heart, right? I thought about this as I was preparing the sermon. I thought, what do I get excited about? What brings me joy? Usually, it's something that has to do with some self-fulfillment or personal pleasure, enjoyment. It has to do about with me. That's pretty common for us. Jesus is encouraging us, inviting us in to say, hey, understand and receive a little bit of God's joy. And you do that by getting involved with God's work of finding the lost. Notice in the stories that both the shepherd and the woman and the father invite other people to celebrate with them, right? That's God's invitation to us. In these parables, he's inviting us to celebrate with him, to share his greatest joy, to see people find salvation. That's a shared joy. When someone is newly born into my family, I want you to celebrate with me. I want you to be a part of that. God is inviting us into that exciting process of seeing people born into faith. That's shared joy. That's the essence of outreach. That's what every one of us is called to share the gospel with others so that we can too experience the joy of seeing other people come to know Jesus Christ. But why tell three stories? Just to emphasize that three times over? No, catch this. I want to go back through with each of these stories because not only is there a common theme of joy and celebration when the lost are found, there are differences in each of these parables. And those differences help us understand what Jesus is teaching us about how we enter into this joy of seeing the lost found. Let's look first at the first parable, the lost sheep, verses 3-7. What's unique in this story? Well, you've got 99 sheep and one lost sheep. And the shepherd leaves the 99 to go find the one. That's kind of unique in this story. He's leaving something to go find something else. Now, it's not that he doesn't love the other sheep. Obviously, the shepherd cares about all the sheep. But in this moment of need, when the one is lost, he leaves the 99 and goes to find the one that is lost. That little sheep takes priority at the moment. And I think Jesus is saying that he was spending time with tax collectors and sinners because that's where the need was. That's where the lost were. And so that's where his priority was. It's not that he didn't care about all the other people, but he gave his attention to those in need. So I think here's the lesson for us. Reaching the lost requires relational priorities. The relational priorities that are involved. If we're going to enter into this with God, that means that sometimes, this is tough. Grab a hold of this. Sometimes this means that we have to leave 99 of our Christian friends for the moment to focus in on that one who doesn't know Christ, that one that's lost, the one that is most in need of our time and attention at that given moment. That's exactly what Jesus is describing with the story of the shepherd. It means that sometimes we set aside relationships with those that we love when we don't love them any less in doing so. But in the moment of need, we give our attention to someone who needs the love of God in their life. If you follow the news at all over these last couple weeks, you've seen this disaster in Nepal, the earthquakes that have rocked that nation and those surrounding it. And what happened there, and what happens often when there's a natural disaster like this, is that people come out of the woodwork. They set aside their other relationships, they leave their families, some of them travel for miles to come to where the need is. That search and rescue operation to find even just one survivor. All that attention is suddenly given because there's a need, there's a crisis, there's a lost one that needs to be found. We need to adopt, in a sense, a search and rescue mentality. That when God brings someone across our path, when we realize that there's somebody we know that's in need, that doesn't know Jesus, sometimes that means we set aside the other things in our life, the other people in our life, for that moment to give attention to that one who's in greatest need. If you know Christ as your Savior this morning, if you're here, you have a relationship with Jesus, you're a search and rescue worker. God has you out wherever you are, your family, your friends, your network, so that you can search and rescue those in need of Christ. Will you take care of that? Will you do that? Will you sometimes leave the 99 when God shows you the one? Second story, the lost coin, verses 8-10. What do we learn from this one? What's different about this story? Well, I think what you have to be impressed with in this parable is this woman who immediately goes to work, right? Her effort that she puts in, intentional effort. Once she realizes one of her coins is lost, she gets out her lamp and lights her lamp. She gets out her broom, begins to sweep. She goes to work to find that lost coin. She sets aside all of her other activities. She becomes intentional in her effort to find it. And I think that's what true with Jesus. He was intentional in his effort to reach the lost. He would take the gospel to them. When nobody else would have anything to do with them, Jesus would be intentional about that. And I think the lesson for us is very similar, that reaching the lost requires that kind of intentional effort. Sometimes it's relational priorities, sometimes it's work. It's intentional effort that we give. Here's the unique thing about this story. Maybe you've never thought about this parable in this way. The coin was never going to go find that woman. It wasn't. It was going to lay there until she went searching for it. Now, that's not, the sheep might have eventually found its way home, but the shepherd goes because it's in need. In this case, the coin would never find its way. How appropriate is that? Because sometimes those who are lost and away from God don't even know they're lost. They're never going to come and show up at Trinity Church. They're not going to find us. God is saying, sometimes you have to step out and work at finding them. The other day, I was in our kitchen, and I had on my reading glasses, which I only use for reading, so sometimes they just sit, you know, like this on top of my head. And I had some eye drops, this is showing my age, my eyeglasses, my eye drops, you know, everything's falling apart. But I put my head back to put the eye drops in my eyes. The glasses fell off the back of my head. Now, I don't know, I can't explain this reaction, but for some reason, I kicked out my back left leg. I don't know if in the back of my head I was thinking I was going to catch my glasses on my leg, maybe. I don't. That would have been phenomenal if it had happened, but it didn't happen. Instead, I kicked my glasses. They went sliding across our floor, and sure enough, right underneath this huge cabinet. I was so disgusted with myself, I said, I'm not even going to go look for them. I'm just leaving them. So I left them there. Of course, 5 minutes later, I needed the glasses to read something. So there, sure enough, I go back, and I had to get down on my belly, get a flashlight, I had a little headlamp flashlight, put it on my head to see under there. Well, you can hardly see, it's pretty dark. There are my glasses, way back underneath there. So I'm on my belly, reaching under this, it's barely room for my arm. Back under there, who knows what's under those things? You know, we haven't moved that piece of furniture in years. So there's dust and dirt and dead bugs, and I'm just reaching down to that to grab my glasses. Now, I tell you that story because sometimes, because some of you have done the same thing, right? But sometimes we feel that way about the lost. And we wouldn't say it, but sometimes it's like, that's just too much work. It's dirty work. I don't want to reach into the dirt of somebody else's life. I don't want to get down on my belly. We don't want to put out the effort. And I think in this parable, Jesus is inviting us to say, sometimes we need to do that work, make that effort, get on our bellies, because that's where the joy is. It's in finding the lost, reaching that one, restoring that lost coin. We all know some of those lost coins, right? Are you willing to go out of your way to retrieve one of those lost coins? Are you willing to give the effort? Are you willing to get on your belly and reach out to somebody else? Third story, the lost son, the rest of this chapter of Luke 15. What's the unique feature of this story? Well, it's pretty easy to see it in this one. It's not a lost something, it's a lost someone. So now Jesus is getting a little more personal, right? It's not about a sheep, it's not about a coin, it's about a son. And as he gets a little bit more personal, you notice something else that's unique about this story. The shepherd went to find the sheep. The woman went to find her coin. The father doesn't go searching. He doesn't go searching for the lost son. The son had to learn some things and find some things on his own. So the father stayed. The father is waiting. The father perhaps was searching his own heart. Maybe preparing himself. Maybe thinking, what will I do? If my son ever comes back, what will I say? How will I receive him? The father was preparing himself for the hoped return of the son. And so when the son does come back, the father's ready. The Father's ready to run to him. The Father's ready to show love to him. The Father's ready to extend grace to him and forgive him because he's prepared his own heart. So what do we learn from this parable? That reaching the lost sometimes requires patient acceptance. Patient acceptance. Sometimes that lost person is already close to you. It's not that you have to give priority to build a relationship or you have to work at a relationship. You already have a relationship, just like the Father did with his son. But maybe that lost one has hurt you. Maybe that lost friend or family member has wounded you in some way. And maybe it's going to be difficult for you to reach out and show the love of God to that person. Maybe that'll be the greatest challenge for you. Or maybe that person is so far away from God, you can't imagine that they would ever come back. It seems like a lost cause. And the message of this parable is, be patient. Don't stop praying. Don't stop hoping. Don't stop waiting. Don't stop looking down the road. Don't stop preparing your own heart, because when that moment comes, you need to be ready to extend forgiveness and grace, because that's the heart of God. If we're going to reach the lost, we have to have tender hearts. We have to have open arms. We have to have patience and perseverance. We need to be ready, like the Father, to call for the robe and the ring and the fatted calf. I want you to see for a moment another video. This is a story of somebody at Trinity. Herb Mayer attends our Oceanfront campus. He's an Oceanfront guy for years. Started as 15 years old as a lifeguard on the beach. Works for the city now. I want you to hear his testimony about how God has called him into this patient acceptance that is the heart of outreach. Watch this video.
I'm Herb Mayer. I've been coming to Trinity now 5 years. I began saving lives when I was 15 out here at the Oceanfront area. Ironically, the last 17 years, the Lord's used me to help save lives of people who are struggling with addictions. How I got involved with Recovery for Life was back in 1998. I had a severe alcohol and drug problem. And when I came home from work one day, the divorce papers were on the dining table. I knew my time was up. I just became a Christian. I was an infant. I talked to my pastor, and he referred me to Dr. Paul Hardy, Recovery for Life. Once I started attending, months later, I became a facilitator, and I've been active with them for 17 years. During those 17 years, I've seen a lot of addicts come through the program. Hundreds, maybe thousands. There was this one individual who was strongly addicted, severely addicted to pain meds. He adamantly hated Jesus. I mean, adamantly. And working with him, going to his home in the middle of the night, phone calls and so forth, came that he not only did he come to know Christ, but he was in there with Christ. He loves the Lord. Where I get my enjoyment during this whole process of Recovery for Life is to see the final outcome. When you see a person that they're at the lowest point in life. They have totally hit rock bottom. They've probably lost their job, their marriage, maybe their children. They've lost everything. And to see how God restores them and pulls them up and brushes them off and puts them on the right path in life, it's so refreshing.
Isn't that a great testimony? Herb's discovered that entering into this process of reaching out to others is the most fulfilling thing there could ever be. Herb's got dozens of more stories just like that one of people that he's poured into patiently, sometimes waiting months, years, giving to them, waiting for them, showing the love of God to them, accepting them, encouraging them, waiting for them to come to faith. That's the process of outreach. That's sometimes what it takes for the lost to be found, and that's the story of the prodigal son. You know, most people love this parable because it's such a great picture of God the Father and his love for us, extending grace to us. If you know Christ as your Savior, you've experienced that. You have come to God and you have received his arms around you and you've experienced that celebration. Think about it this way. If you are a believer, there's been a celebration in heaven for you when you came to Christ. But you know, the message of this parable goes beyond that. It's not just about us being accepted by God. It's about us entering into that and reaching out to others and accepting others. That's why the older son is such a key part of the story. Sometimes we miss the end of that. Because the father, as the father does with his older son, God comes to us and he asks us to open our arms and our hearts to sinners who repent, to those other wretched younger brothers who want to come home. God wants to cultivate in us a passion for the lost and a willingness to accept others just the way he does. And just the way he accepted us. We've got to extend that grace to others. He doesn't want us to focus just on our own heavenly inheritance. That's great. We're on our way to heaven. Heaven is secured for us. That's wonderful. That was true for the older brother. Everything the father had was his. But the father says, but I want you to come and celebrate with me because the lost son is found. God wants us to enter into his joy of finding and reaching the lost. I think these parables reveal for us that heart of outreach. Let me summarize them in this way with just short phrases. First is leave the 99. Sometimes you have to prioritize those relationships to the one in need. Second is grab your broom. Sometimes you got to go to work and put out some effort to reach that lost one. And the last is this, open your arms. Show the grace and the love of God to others who need to experience it and see it. If we're going to join God in his search for the lost, we first must want it like the shepherd wanted to find the sheep. Second, we must work at it like the woman searching for her coin. And third, sometimes we must wait for it, like the father waiting for the son. Today I want to end with a very pointed and practical response to this passage. I think the first one is clear. If you're here today and you don't even know what this is about, you understand that you are lost. You're the one who's never been put in a right relationship with the Father. Then the message to you is run. Run to him. Go back to him. Go to him and he will accept you with open arms and love you and save you. That's your greatest need this morning. But if you're here this morning and you have experienced that, you know the Lord as your Savior, then God is inviting you to be involved in his quest for the lost, to find others who need to know him. I personally believe that every one of us as Christians should have at least, always have at least one person on our minds, in our hearts, in our prayers, someone that doesn't know the Lord that we're keyed in on, somebody on our radar that we are watching for and praying for. Maybe it's somebody in your family. Maybe it's somebody in your friend group. Maybe it's a neighbor or a coworker. Somebody that God has put on your heart and you realize it's your responsibility to reach out to that person and show them the gospel. Not to save them, but to reach out and show them God's love. If you're here this morning and you say, I'm not sure I have that person or persons, I'm not sure I'm interacting with those who need the Lord enough. That's why we want to facilitate that. If you came in this morning, you saw around the room, we have these different ministry partners and Trinity Homegrown Ministries. That's what this is all about. It's to help facilitate our reaching the lost. What I love about these partner ministries is that they are where the lost are. They are where people are in need. And so one way that we get to those people, find those people, is to partner with these ministries, volunteer with these ministries, get involved with them so that we are interacting with those who are in the greatest need, with those who are lost. So that's why what we're doing this morning. And we're going to take these last minutes. We're finishing this service early this morning so that you've got about 10 or 15 minutes at the close of the service just to interact with these partner ministries. We're going to have the child care continuing, nursery will continue, shred will continue till 11:45 so that you've got time to explore a little bit this morning. So this is a little more interactive, a little more involvement-oriented than typical on a Sunday morning at Trinity Church. But I'm really encouraging you to do something with that today, to think about who God's put on your heart and in your life and think about how you can get involved with these ministries that are intentionally reaching those who are lost. So what we're going to do is I'm going to pray for us in just a moment. Then we're going to watch a real short video that gives you an overview of these ministries. And then Marty Hensley, who's one of our team members for Trinity Outreach, will come and introduce those partners, show you where they are. We'll say the benediction, and then the time will be yours to explore. So let's bow our heads. And as we start to pray, let me first encourage you to do this. Let me encourage you, if this morning you're not sure about your relationship with God, then set that right first. Acknowledge your sin. Receive what Jesus did for you on the cross by faith. And be restored to the Father. Repent of your sin. That's what Jesus was describing in his stories. If this morning God's put someone on your heart, maybe a name, maybe a face appeared in your mind, we talked about that a moment ago, then take a moment and pray for that person. Use this moment. Say, God, give me the opportunity. Help me make that relationship a priority. Let me see that as the one lost sheep I'm supposed to go rescue. Lord, help me to put some effort into that, to be willing to get down on my belly and reach into some dirt in order to reach that person. And then, Lord, give me your heart. Open my arms so that I'm ready to receive that person and show your love to that person in any way you call me to do so. Make that your prayer in this moment. Lord, thank you for these stories. Thank you, Jesus, for showing us the heart of God. That the thing that brings greatest joy to you is for a lost one to be found, for the sinner to repent. Lord, we want to be involved in that. We want to enter into that celebration too. Help us not to miss out on that. Give us the excitement and the motivation and the desire to jump into this with you, to share your joy in reaching the lost. Lord, I pray that our heart would beat with yours. Heart for the lost. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen.